You're quite welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a couple of favors from you today. I'm going to start off with not having to listen to your phone. Just open your mind for a heartbeat. And let's just ask God. Lord Jesus, Father, your word stands by itself. Your truth, Lord, goes past all understanding. I ask you, Almighty God, that you would remove the man, Father God. And the Lord Jesus, that all people would see is you. Lord Jesus, I pray never to be a distraction, never to be a focus, that you and you alone would be whom we hear. Almighty God, I give you this time and this honor. I pray, Father God, that you guide my words, that you lead me as you have instructed. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So it's been a while since you've seen me up here, but I want you to not focus on that. What I want you to focus on is who we're talking about today. Who we're talking about today and what his message truly is. And the message of him truly is amen? Love will save the day. Love will save the day. But not a love like the world talks about. That's just such a tiny slice of what God's love truly is and what his purpose in it was. Andy, if you'd put that first scripture up there, John 15, 9 through 17. There's not a lot of scripture, and the word is very clear, and it's not very complex, because that's how God brought it to us. Amen? As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That word abide means to dwell. Live. Do you live in your home or do you live around your home? Do you live in your home? Do you dwell in your home or do you pitch a tent outside of it? See, sometimes we forget this. I also have loved you. Abide in my love. That very simple thought that we don't dwell in God's love. We have to go to church. You know, I talked to somebody not too long ago and said, well, do you want something more positive for your life? Do you want to change your spiritual context? Do you want to be filled with something? Well, I don't want to go to church because church is filled with hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I really don't know what that has to do with anything. What does that have to do with anything? I asked you, do you want to change? Because, see, he didn't say, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my church. Come visit me at my house. He didn't say, stop by and have cookies. He said, abide, dwell in my love. To dwell means this is where I go. When you go, if you have to leave your house to run errands or to go to work, you know you're coming back, right? And you know it's still there. And you're absolutely certain that you've made sure that it's going to stay there. This is what God's saying. He says, abide in my love. Know that it's there. See, the beauty of love, though, is it's not like a house because it travels with you. So it's more like one of the caravans of the old days when they would carry a tent with them, like the tent of meeting in the Old Testament. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Ooh. Who wants the joy of the Lord? I mean, see, look, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord's not like this. Hey, I won the lottery. Woohoo, woohoo. Till the tax man comes. It's not the, wow, I just got a big promotion or something good happened. The joy of the Lord, that my joy, the joy of Jesus Christ may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. Can I tell you that the joy of the Lord will overflow you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing? And it's not just a happy little dance. It's overflowing. He said, this is my commandment. A what? A suggestion? This is my, might be good for you. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Forget the period, forget the 12. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. See that word again? I suggest a command that you love one another, how as I have loved you. Now I want you to get a thought of this. He says, greater love hath no man than that he lay down his life for his friend. Let me give you a quick challenge. Andy, go to the next scripture, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Didn't he just say, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend? And yet the Savior laid down his life for an enemy. Because what is a sinner but an enemy of a God? Right? When you're walking in hatred of God, or a lack of acknowledgement of him, or you know, you're an agnostic, you're an atheist, whatever it may be, you don't believe in him. It says, while we were still sinners, he died for us. The very antithesis, the opposite of a friend. The opposite of a friend. He died for us. And yet he said to remain in his love. Because he gave us that gift of love, which overwhelms. Why? So that our joy could be complete. Why does he want our joy complete? By this you will know that they are mine, that they love one another. How do you love someone? It's easy for the world to look at romantic love and say, look, little butterflies. You know, that's so wonderful. That's love. And that very quickly fades if you've been married longer than 4 minutes. You realize that that is an ethereal thing that comes and goes. It doesn't necessarily have to go away, but it comes and goes. Because life brings in trauma. Drama. Whew. And so what he's saying to us is his love will give us joy complete. And see, when you find someone who can love completely, even when, you know, it's easy when everything's good and the house is paid for, money's rolling in, and everybody loves you, and you come home and, you know, the birds are twittering and the children's go, oh, Father, we love you. Right? But when you walk in and there's a notice on the door, when you walk in and the dog has chewed your favorite sofa, when you walk in and the children have broken your wife's favorite picture, and all heck is breaking loose, Can you still have the same attitude? Regardless of circumstance? Because circumstance does not change God's love. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. I was driving, and someone very precious to me texted me as I was driving through the middle of a desert. And she says, "Hi, my friend, how are you?" And I said, "I am in the valley of the shadow of death." And she says, "Oh, no, it can't be that bad." And I said, no, I'm in Death Valley, the valley of the shadow of death. I'm literally in Death Valley. And this, quite honestly, is the most godforsaken place I have ever seen in my life. And I have been to some desolate places, but in the middle of Death Valley, it was 121 degrees. There is a reason that it is called Death Valley. It is not the valley of the shadow of death. It is Death Valley. But you know what? Here's the revelation that came in the middle of that. Even in this hostile, anti-life place, here are cactus and little jade trees. And if I had gotten out of my car at 121 degrees, I may have perished. But I would have found Gila monsters and lizards, and crazy enough, there are even toads that live there, virtually hibernated under the mud, waiting for a rain. It's crazy. They maybe come out once or twice a year. God has provided life in the midst of a place that, if you're just passing through, you go, "Ew." And one of the things that God really just stirred in my heart was this: I've never left you or abandoned you. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in the middle of Death Valley, literally, or if you, as I have been, figuratively in Death Valley, right? Where you're absolutely certain the only proper thing to do is just go be with Jesus. I hear believers say this all the time. "I just want to go be with Jesus because it's so bad." I'm just going to tell you, God has not abandoned us. His love, he gave it to us. You can put John 15 back up, Andy, and just leave it up. That's fine. Because he said, "Remain in his love so our joy will be complete." That's your call. That's it. That's your call. How simple is this? On Friday, we had a dance. And we celebrated love. Not just a warm, fuzzy, little fat cherubs with arrows love, but the genuine love of God, which is creative, extravagant, enduring, and joyful. Now, the love of God is creative. And if you doubt that, look around you. And humorous. It is creative. I mean, I marvel at the love of God. Go to a rainforest. Go to the ocean. Go out and just look at the grass. And you will see the most incredible creative love that was done just for you and me, because God so loved the world that when he spoke it into existence, he made it incredible for us. It was creative. I mean, think of this. God could have made it in black and white, right? I mean, he's God. How boring would that be? God could have made everybody look the same. He made food tastes good. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry for my gluttony. But really, I mean, how creative and how extravagant. Here's one of the things that gets me. Go to a reef, go to the zoo, and look at the fish. God didn't go, little blue, little red. Okay. He went like, "Wait. Check that fish out, and we'll give it a long here, and we'll make this. And look at the giraffe." awesome is that? And we're going to make alligators out of alligator skin. What a cool idea. I mean, but the extravagance of God. I am just amazed when I look at flowers. Just stop and take a minute and look at a lily. Take a look at a rose. And the extravagant detail that God puts in it. Why? He didn't have to do that for bees. Bees see color, they smell. Right? You, he put all of this extra effort into. And it's enduring. It's the enduring love of God. Every year, every day, I realize God puts up with a lot. I mean, I want you to think about that. Think about what God puts up with now times 7 billion. And his love never changes. See, this is something, when you have one child, you go like, oh, I could never love anybody like you. And then you have two children. And you go, wow, where did all the extra love come from? And then like Beth and I, we have 4 grandchildren. It's like, holy smoke, how did my heart just continue to grow and grow? And imagine God, the love that he has, and how expansive it is, and how unending. And that his desire was that our joy would be complete. That's what brings, as a parent, there's no greater joy than watching your children go, oh, that was the best. Oh, I couldn't be happier. And that's what God is looking for us. You know, on Friday, we took some testimonies. I mean, Jeremy and Lethesia were a tremendous testimony. I got to say anything, it's all right. I mean, a tremendous testimony just of what God is doing. Not what he's done, just what he's doing, just in the day-to-day. You see, but we look at these testimonies and go, amen. The end. We want to stamp and put a period on the end of it. This is not how the love of God flows. That's like saying, you made 6th grade, that's it. Bye. But that's all. That's all there is. You won your baseball tournament. That's all there is. You fulfilled some small goal. Just like you would never do this with a child or a friend. God never does that with us. He's not looking at us going, all right, well, got you that. I'm done. Hope you got some. It's an unending. Now, those testimonies are the sprinkles and the frosting. I mean, really. A testimony, what does that do? That encourages us. You can walk by that cake. You didn't bake it. You didn't do anything and just go. Right? See? And you're like, ooh, that, oh, I might want. What did it take to bake that cake? You know what? I had to go get the flour and the sugar and the eggs and the milk. I had to go get it and I had to put it all together and I had to mix it together and I had to bake it. Well, see, that's, but then people want to walk by and go to the testimony and go, whoo, yeah. Well, I never get any of that. Well, you've got to bake it all together. You've got to allow God to, with his love, put it all together. I mean, here's just a couple of these that came forth. This was extravagant love. My in-laws loved me unconditionally, even though they knew my future husband and I were having an affair. Because of their unconditional love, I came to understand the extravagant love of our Savior, which changed my life. Her in-laws were pastors. And they didn't go, you filthy swine, get away from our son and leave. They loved unconditionally, and that is one of the sweetest women you'll ever meet. This one says, excuse me. Getting old. Seasoned. Seasoned. Salt and pepper. Somebody who hadn't seen me with it says, wow, a lot of color there. I said, yeah, well, it happens. During a very difficult time in our marriage, after 17 years of marriage, strongholds and infidelity practically tore us apart. Because of God's grace, mercy, and love, my husband's extravagant love poured into me to withstand the evil that attempted to destroy us. He forgave me day after day while praying for a restoration. We are now 22 years because he wouldn't give up. I mean, look, there's 1,000 of these. And that is the beauty of God's love. Because again, that's the frosting. But let's get past the frosting to the sacrifice of the day-to-day. Anybody think baking is the best part of a cake? No. To me, no. The smell of baking, huge. The flavor of baking, woohoo. The cooking, whatever. I mean, it's busy work. But it has to be done in order to bring that to pass. It's the day-to-day, every day, the true part, when it's hard. Bethy's strength is a little lesser today. She used to make me chocolate chip cookies by the ton, and she'd be like, now? She's like, because it's harder. Things get harder, right? Sometimes you're like, are you sure you want cookies? Can't we just go get some, you know, Chips Ahoy, go down to King Supers? But it's that when there are battles and there are struggles, when love actually has a cost to you, then when you come to that place and go, whew, we made it. Wow. Then it has an incredible value. If you had to walk to the store to go get your flour, how about this? You had to go get the wheat. Grind the wheat up. Make the flour. Chase the chickens. Go catch that cow. Look, you milk cows at 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm telling you, milk out of a jug, much better. After having spent many mornings doing that, it's easier just to open the fridge, pop the lid, and take a swig. When there's battles and struggles and chaos and confusion, you get to that place where you don't know anymore. I don't even know how I can do this anymore. Have you been there yet? How can I go on one more day? How can I survive one more hour of this pain? When it seems impossible. I think if you've been in love or around love for any length of time, you found yourself at that place. Now, here's a great challenge. This little book here, Jesus Calling. It's great. It's great. Great, great, great. On the 17th, it says, need the old folks version. Big letters, you know. I'm the risen one who shines upon you always. You worship a living deity, not some idolatrous man-made image. Your relationship with me is meant to be vibrant and challenging as I invade more and more areas of your life. Do not fear change, for I am making you a new creation, with old things passing away and new things continually on the horizon. When you cling to old ways and sameness, you resist my work within you. I want to embrace all, I want you to embrace all that I am doing in your life, finding your security in me alone. It is easy to make an idol of routine. Say amen or oh me. It is easy to make an idol of routine, finding security within the boundaries you build around your life. Although each day contains 24 hours, every single one presents a unique set of circumstances. Don't try to force fit today into yesterday's mold. Instead, ask me to open your eyes so you can find all I have prepared for you in this precious day of life. Every day stands on its own. Then here's the problem with us as human beings. Routine makes us feel comfortable. Comfort makes us lazy, and it makes us dependent upon routine, which makes us comfortable, which makes us lazy, which makes us dependent upon routine. And so you find yourself doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, which is what? The definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So I challenge you to look at the routine, the commonplace, the boundaries, the limits that we allow into our lives. And we all do it in specific places. Now, that's the thief of joy. Routine, commonplace, boundaries, limits. But those things in and of themselves are not bad at all. Routine, that's an excellent thing. A routine that is healthy is good, unless it becomes what you depend upon instead of allowing yourself to do what God is calling you to do. Well, this person is in desperate need, but I have my Tuesday at 7 appointment. What will I do? I will break my routine. It's my workout. It's my time for me. This is funny how people are like, oh, no. That's the night me and the guys go bowling. That's the night my girlfriends and I go do. We can't break that routine. And the commonplace, some people get so caught up in wanting the commonplace to not exist anymore, just to have the giant, huge thing. You know what? The commonplace, every day, the very same things. You eat every day, right? You drink every day. And so those commonplace things are very important. You breathe. Just stop breathing for a couple minutes. Tell me how important that very commonplace thing becomes to you. So those things are not bad. Boundaries and limits have a place. But when we make them the idol, the dictator of what we're doing, then our relationship with God begins to fade because we begin to lean on those things. This is what happened to the Pharisees. They began to put their trust in the words instead of the giver of the words. You can take this Bible and you can beat people to death with it. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people have been pushed away from God by people using it as a sword against people instead of a sword that brings truth. See, the word says it is a sword that separates. We want to be the sword that separates. And so that's the difference. His love is our key. The love of God is our key. Do you love like he loves? Wouldn't you like to go, yes! I would. I'm sitting there this morning going, occasionally, I've got a couple of good histories, but I mean, how does God love? Does God love the same all the time? Every time? Consistently? Eternally? Yes. And see, that's what God is looking for from us. We love to do the big, I'm going to help Jeff move and let everyone know. I mean, really. And then it's like, yeah, well, I helped Jeff 3 years ago. I helped him move. I mean, hello? Have a little, go ahead, pat my back. My arm hurts from doing it so much. So can you do it? Because see, that instead of the thought of, what's today? How do I love today? And what, and who do I love today? Here's the beautiful one. When it's your friends, it's your family. Oh, so wonderful. And then there's somebody who really not so nice, annoying, irritating, hateful, mean, comes in and God says, are you going to love them the same? Oh, whoa, I'm not Jesus. This is what Christians say. I swear. This is the funniest thing. I'm not Jesus. You can't expect me to love them. You're not Jesus, and yet he dwells within you if you've confessed him. And so the funny thing is we've seen people who have suffered years of abuse who then were faced with the abuser and gave them love and forgiveness and grace. And you're like, this to me is a great testimony. When someone does something like that, when I we read a story of a woman whose son was murdered, her only son, she went to prison to meet the young man who had murdered him and said, and he's terrified. He's like 17 years old and he had killed her 16-year-old son, murdered him, cold blood. No reason, just it was a gang initiation or something. I don't remember what it was. And she goes in there, and so here's this 17-year-old kid. He's like, oh, man, she's probably going to, you know, I mean, what do you think he's thinking? She's going to rip me up. And she comes in, and she just sits down, and she looks at him. And she said, I want you to know I forgive you. I'm so sorry for what's happening to you. And he's looking at her, and he didn't even know what to do until he just began to break down. And he said, don't you understand what I've done? I did it. I'm not innocent. She said, I know. But I took your only son from you. I know. Do you know that she became his surrogate mother? He became her son. The one who killed her own flesh and blood. I'm like, oh God, please, don't ever put me in that position. I'm really not sure. You would have to so be like, because my flesh, I know what my flesh would want to do. But see, that's what I'm talking about, the love of God. That's the beauty of the love of God that can propel us into those things. This is not a point where we're failing. This is not God going, you're not loving people like I love you. Because see, this is sometimes what people want to take this message. You go, oh, geez, I didn't do it with that person or that person. Oh, I suck. Cannot tell you how many people call, I suck. I had an opportunity to love, I suck. And I'm like, really? See, the point is God is showing us a way to success. He's not pointing out our failures. See, that's the point. It's not like, let me show you a great success so I can show you how bad you stink. He says, look, this great success, and how many times have you seen this? Someone, this is always great. Holy smoke, if they could do it, I might be able to do it. That person was a drug addict. That person was a murderer. That person, Moses, David, murderers. I mean, Abraham, she ain't my wife. That's my sister. You can have her. Gotta say, I would not go over very well in my house. So, you know, but I mean, I want you to think about this. The people that God used, why? Because they're people. Imperfect. Learning. Growing. He's giving us a place. Because what he's giving us is a love story. A love story that he's written. And you know what that love story is? You. You are God's greatest love story. The fact that he gave his only begotten son so that you would have the gift to be able to abide in my love. In the love of God. We are the love of Christ to the earth. What he has placed inside of you. And all we have to do is allow it out. It's there. Many of us work very hard to make sure that it doesn't come out. In unforeseen circumstances, I mean, I don't want to just like, what if I love that person and then they want to come home and stay at my house? Look, I'm too, look, challenge yourself. Walk downtown. Have somebody walk up to you and go, hey, have you got a, what's your first reaction? Oh, geez, don't look. This is New York. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. Don't look at him. I went to Boston when I was 18 years old from the West Coast, where everybody says hi. I went to Boston. I'm all the way through the airport. Nobody's looking at me. I'm like, I'm just a kid bopping with my cowboy hat on. You know, I'm like, what the heck is going on? A whole day, nobody would even look me in the eye except my brother. And I'm like, what is going on with these people? The next person I see, I'm going to make eye contact or else. So I'm walking down the street in Boston, and there's this, I don't know, mid-40s, 50 black man, just kind of minding his own business, and so I go. I mean, and he's like, literally, he went across the street. Crazy white kid. I'm like, what is wrong? But see, that's our avoidance of the love of God. Because what happens? Somebody, you might fall in love with somebody. Josh and Cammy, two kids from the street who came and lived at our house. I'm going to tell you what, they could come and stay at my house forever. They're awesome, wonderful people. How did I know that? Walking by the street, if they'd have gone, hey man, got some money for dinner?
Oh, I'm busy.
Right? See, we work to keep that little shell around us, right? To avoid having to love people who might be different. They might take advantage of us. Anybody you ever love take advantage of you? They start when they're doing this. Am I right? Until they go, no, really, Dad, I have to have the car keys. The coach said I need to take your car, I promise. My teacher said I have to get my driver's license right when I turn 16. I mean, this is... But that's the truth. The people that we love take advantage of us, right? You take advantage? Do you take advantage of the people you love? And? But I'm going to set up the parameters of who has the opportunity to receive my love or possibly take advantage of me. Whose job is that? Is that not God's job? That doesn't mean be foolish and walk around with a stack of bills, you know, 12 o'clock at night on Colfax. You're probably going to get taken advantage of. Just going to say, or arrested. Yeah. Obviously, a drug dealer, you're looking for something you shouldn't be looking for. Come with us, sir. No, no, no. I'm just loving people. Yes, there's a law against that. But see, our desire to share the love of God, that's the fuel of the Christian life. Our desire. God could make you go love people. No, Lord, no. But he doesn't. Because when it's your desire, it creates this passionate thing. That, like they were talking about, when people see Andy and Randy and Joe and Sean and the guys down at Soup, they're like, they're not standing there going, "The Lord says," Jeremy, did they ever do that? Did they ever wave their Bible at you? Just once. Well, occasionally you need to get people's attention. But because they knew them by their love, they're like, "What is it? Why are you doing this? We just came to love people. Just seemed like the thing to do. Don't you know you could get hurt down here? Really? Seems pretty safe to me." And the guys that are used to are like, "Oh, it ain't safe down here. You don't want to go there." "Oh, we're safe. Why?" The love of God is our shield. That song that we sang, that he is a mighty tower. He's our strength and our shield. He genuinely is that. So will you allow God to tell you as a love story? I mean, not like, see, some of us want, okay, I'm God's love story, just put me on the shelf. Good. See? I love God. So that people go, "Ooh." No, no, no. Will you allow God to open it up and to say, "Tabitha, my servant, the lover of my people, gives with all of her heart, pours out to the just and to the unjust. Liz, my precious daughter, gives of her heart without thought of her own protection." Will you allow God to read the love story that he created in you? And if you haven't, if it's too hard, then let's ask for help. Because that's his whole point, was simply to allow the love story of him to be told in us. How will they know that you are believers? By your love for one another. Very simply. So if you found yourself under a pile of rubble, or curled up in a ball of fear, or angry that life hasn't given you what you thought it should, if insecurity and doubt has gripped you, if failure or lack of doing what you know, sometimes we're that person, "I know I should do this." I hear that a lot. "You know, I should." And they're looking for me to go, "Yeah, you should." And I always go, "Okay. And?" If God's telling you, then maybe you should. And when you're ready, you will. Me saying something is not going to do it. If you want to, you just don't know how to. You've just gotten to that place where, like, circumstances overwhelmed me. I don't know. I don't know how to love anymore. I don't know how to allow love into me anymore. Then we're just going to play some worship. I'm just going to say, I don't have this to impart to you. The love of God is a gift you've already received. And if you haven't received it, it's there available for you. It's simply a matter of, the analogy I've always used is like a lamp. The love of God is like a lamp. And what we do through life is throw our dirty clothes and our old used stuff on top of it. And it's still brightly shining. You just can't see it anymore. And so all you have to do is say, God, take that stuff off of there, please. I want the past. I want the hurts. I want the old wounds, the fears, the doubts, where I have been hurt before. I want those things off. Because I don't want me to shine through anymore. I want you to shine through. I want the love of God to go beyond my circumstance so that when people see my story, they don't go, oh, yeah, you've had a great life. No wonder you're so happy. They go, wow, you've had a life and you're still joyful. You've come through it. Bad things, hard things, trials, deaths have happened. But you are still unmoved, and He shines through. That doesn't mean we're perfect. It means that He is shining through. Like a mirror at a 45-degree angle, so that people see God's face in us, so that we're reflecting it. That's what God is looking for from us. So, Andy, if you would play His Love. And it's a simple message. It's the love of God, which He has given to you and asked you simply, let out. Let it be reflected to a world that has desperate need of that. If you need prayer, if you just want to spend time with God,